The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
We all have one or two days that we remember very well because something big happened on that day. Isaiah had one of those in Isaiah chapter 6, an experience in the very throne room of God. A familiar passage, we'll talk about it today here on Grace in Focus, and we welcome you. We're so glad you're with us today, friend. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can find us and find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. We have a free online seminary that you can be involved with, information on our website, and there are also some free ebooks that you might be interested in. They're at faithalone.org. Now, with today's discussion from Isaiah 6, here are Catherine Wright and Ken Yates.
We're continuing a little series, probably about five, of the book of Isaiah. And what we're trying to do is give you a little bit of a taste of what the GES Old Testament commentary will be like as we discuss some of these issues.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, we're working on a commentary for the Old Testament. We have one for the New Testament. You've got a couple books too.
Yeah, I've got a couple that I'm working on, and a lot of you are familiar with the New Testament commentary. Well, we're hopefully going to be able to produce one if the Lord tarries. On the Old Testament.
That's right.
And we got a number of writers, a number of editors. We're just plugging away.
It's a behemoth.
It is. It's quite the work.
Mm.
As we're looking at Isaiah, we thought we would discuss another verse that often in the commentaries are misapplied. And some people say, man, you guys are being real picky and stuff, but or we're being hardcore on these guys, you know. But
well, we are.
But our argument is, though, if you look at the context,
right,
it's pretty obvious that the way this particular verse is taken is not what Isaiah means. And so what verse did you have in mind?
Well, we're in chapter 6, so this is another really, we were in chapter 1 last time, but chapter 6 is also pretty iconic in the book of Isaiah. This is the throne room of the Lord, and Isaiah comes before him, and he sees the throne and the seraphim worshiping the Lord, which, random little factoid, this is the only place where the seraphim are mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And in response to this vision...
And by the way, he see it, of course, it's a famous verse in verse 3, holy, holy, holy.
That's right.
Is the Lord of hosts.
That's
you
right.
know, when you,
and he
holy,
sees this,
holy, holy, you know, the, the song comes from this passage.
That's right.
And so Isaiah sees the, what will we call the holiness, the righteousness
right.
of God.
Authority.
Yeah,
the authority.
Of God. He's on the throne.
Mm-hmm. He right? has this robe. And also it says in verse 4 that the posts of the door were shaken. So, you know, you think of like Mount Sinai, right, when everything was shaking. So it's a pretty impressive scene.
And so when Isaiah sees this, I just imagine if any of us saw this.
That's right.
How would we respond? And of course, as we set the stage for this, Isaiah's already been called as a prophet.
Yeah.
You know, God's called him. How does Isaiah respond? Well, this is where Catherine and I want to spend some time. In verse 5, here's what he says. And this is a familiar verse. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Okay, so when you did your research on Isaiah, how did a lot of the commentaries take this? When Isaiah sees this, he says, oh no, I'm toast. I'm in trouble, right?
Right.
Because I have unclean lips. So how do they take it? Or how is it normally taken?
It is at least an overwhelming majority, I would argue, sees this as a salvation moment, that Isaiah needed to be humbled, brought down, to a point where he confesses that he's a sinner. So this idea of woe is me. So contrition, right? He needed to be contrite. And now he calls out and he cries out and says, I am the sinner and I need to be cleansed. And then following this, an angel brings a hot coal and cleanses his lips. So that is very common theme within the commentaries if you read them. Or I think in a lot of sermons, just, you know, if you were to look it up, many are going to take this as a salvation moment that he had to be brought low.
And so this would be, I'm going to have to work my brain a little bit, the ABCs, admit you're a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Believe and confess, right? The ABCs.
Yeah. Or call upon him.
Yeah.
Depending on.
So they look at Isaiah here, mm-hmm. and they'll use Isaiah, and that's what he does. I'm a man of unclean lips, so he admits he's a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, how many of us hear the gospel that way?
Yeah.
First thing you got to do is maybe not admit, but you at least got to recognize or something like that. You need to recognize the depth of your sin, by the way, what does that mean? I need to understand how big a sinner I am. Well, that's awful subjective, you know, particularly.
Well, and also, how can an unbeliever do that? How can an unbeliever even know the depths of their sin?
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is 0-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
Talk a little bit more about Isaiah, his spiritual state at this time.
Well, I would look at this passage in a completely different line of thought where it's not about a conversion, it's about a commissioning. He's about to be sent out to the nation as the spokesman, the mouthpiece, if you will, of the Lord. And so, I mean, he's already a prophet. There's that point. I have a third point I want to make, but my second one would be, is the Lord going to choose a baby Christian?
Or an unbeliever.
Or an unbeliever. Yeah, an unbeliever at this point, but then an immature, I say Christian, but believer at that moment, to thou be his spokesman to the nation.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You never hear people talk about unclean lips.
Yes.
You know, that when people say this is a salvation message, it's like, well, that's kind of bizarre.
It's a specific thing that he's talking about.
And because this is also that passage where, who shall we send?
It's exactly.
Here I am, send me. And so, as Catherine said, God is sending him out to be his spokesman, and he needs clean lips.
In that regard. So it's not I'm a sinner. It's I'm sinning in this area and I know that this is a problem for me. But then my third thing is another issue is when the commentaries talk about this, they will bring up these other examples of what they claim are unbelievers coming to salvation, if you will. They'll talk about Job when he repented at the end of the book. You know, he repents and says, I need to go to the dust. Or when Peter, when he's fishing and he comes off, you know, and he has this great catch and he comes off of the boat and he lays down and he says, Lord, you know, go away from me. I'm just a sinful man. And they often see this again as these are unbelievers who come to faith, but that's just absurd. I mean, Job in particular, the book of Job begins with the Lord praising him, saying, isn't this a righteous man? He does. And then even after Satan takes away his wealth and children, he still praises the Lord and the Lord says he's such a righteous guy. And so my point in all of that is it's believers who confess their sins.
Yeah,
and we see that in scripture. We see if any believer who stands before the throne room of God, as you said at the beginning of this, who among us would stand before and hearing the seraphim sing, holy, 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 which one of us would not say,
As
a believer, I go to the Lord and need to confess sins as well. And so the idea that unbelievers confess is a very strange application when we see that overwhelmingly it's believers who are the example of those who confess.
And also Peter is obviously a believer before that in the Gospels.
Absolutely.
I mean, John 1 says he believed from the very beginning that Jesus was the Christ.
Right.
He already had eternal life when he says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what Isaiah, I mean, which one of us would feel, like you said, feel up to the job
really? When
you saw his throne
right. And
the angel singing and knowing you're going to go to a nation? And as it says in this chapter, they're not going to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I dwell among people of unclean lips.
Yeah.
So who am I Who am I? I'm a part of this nation that's in rebellion against you. I see your holiness, your righteousness. That's what Isaiah means when he says, woe is me. You know, I'm not up for this task. And he needs a purging or a cleansing in this sense.
Yeah, to piggyback on that, I think another thing we mentioned, kind of what we saw there in 118 in our previous podcast, but here too, that nothing in this passage speaks of grace, you know, belief, that it's a gift, eternal life, you know, like Genesis 15:6 language. None of that is here. It's I'm sinful and I need to be purged and I, you know, cleansing. And then also what's kind of interesting to me is that he says this and then an angel brings this coal and cleanses his lips with it. You know, sometimes the commentators will try and work around that and they'll say, well, the coal represents the atonement.
And why is an angel bringing it?
And then, I don't know. Again, there's a lot of, I think, traditions dictating interpretations when it comes to that. But I just want to point that out, that it's not even the Lord that does the cleansing. It's this angel through this coal. And it's the other thing is it's a process. You know, eternal life is something that you receive in a moment, in an instant. You believe in him the moment you do, you receive eternal life. Well, cleansing, it's he has to confess it. This angel has to bring the coal. They have to put it to his lips. Then he's cleansed. So, I mean, obviously, I think that this is a display. This process is one that if he's going to be his spokesman, he needs to start that job off on the right foot. But to try and fit the saving message into that context is just, you got to make a lot of jumps to get
there. It's crazy. And when we sing that song, Holy, 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 I think instead of saying, well, that's an evangelistic thing, I think we ought to say is the closer we are to the Lord, if we study his word, if we're around his people, if we're walking in obedience to him, the more we see him, we'll put it that way, the more we're going to respond like this.
Like Paul.
Yeah.
Paul ends his life, I'm the chief among sinners.
Right. Yeah, I'm the least of the apostles.
I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the least of the saints. And so the closer you get to his holiness, the more you see the own depths of your sin.
And of course, we see that in the Word. So the more we study the Word, when we see Christ, 2 Corinthians 3, we see him in the Scriptures and we say, wow, I've got a long way to go.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what Isaiah is saying.
That's what
Lord,
Isaiah
is. Woe to me. And this is we would apply this to us as believers.
That's exactly.
Well, another great discussion here. We appreciate it, Catherine. The issue here is in Isaiah 6, we don't see a lot of grace. We see a lot of turn from your sins. And the gospel of eternal life is one of grace. And that's why we always end these episodes by saying, keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus, by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. On our next episode, we move to Isaiah 7 and a prophecy about a virgin birth. Please join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.